Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Build Your Hybrid Cloud here on TechNet Radio on Channel 9. We're in episode 24, and we'll be going through some exciting stuff today. So I'm really happy that you're joining us. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a principal technical evangelist at Microsoft, and I have with me my special guest, Andy Serwich. Hi, Andy. How are you today?
Good, good. How's it going, Keith?
Well, great. Well, Andy, thanks so much for joining us again on today's episode.
Yep, not a problem. Always happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, you know, over the last several episodes, we've gone through a myriad of different topics relating to building and managing hybrid clouds, from automating different components for provisioning, alerting, monitoring. We just finished up three episodes on encryption and security and key management. Andy, what do you think is next? What other topics are you hearing that are gaining interest and momentum out there as you're talking to other IT pros or DevOps professionals?
Well, we've kind of talked about deploying and managing all these individual components, right? Mm-hmm. What happens when we need to deploy an entire solution, manage an entire solution holistically? Because, you know, most solutions aren't just a single server or a single workload. Usually you have a database, maybe a web server, file server, you know, all these different things. How do we wrap around all of these different things and manage them as a whole?
Yeah, that's a great question, and certainly an area of interest that I'm hearing a lot of questions around as well, because, you know, let's face it, common enterprise applications today aren't just one VM anymore. They're right. Multi-tiered applications that have web tiers, app tiers, data tiers, oftentimes involving each multiple VMs in a scaled-out fashion. So being able to reliably deploy and manage those more complex application architectures rather than having to manage them on a VM by VM by VM basis is definitely a plus. And let's see, well, a few months ago, back at our Ignite conference, we announced our new Azure Resource Manager API. And that API is actually focused right around that area for both Azure Public Cloud Management as well as management in the private cloud space to create a comprehensive hybrid solution. So it probably makes sense. You want to take a few minutes? We'll kind of walk through some of the features of Resource Manager and then maybe switch over into our lab and take everybody on a quick tour of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sounds good.
And you hit on a great piece of managing multiple complex application scenarios in the cloud, Andy, when you talked about both provisioning and managing those as a unit, right? And that's really been the focus of Azure Resource Manager, to not only help with just the initial deployment, but then also to help manage that solution on an ongoing basis post-deployment by organizing the components into resource groups that we can use to monitor and manage the application as a unit, and then also assign delegated access to those resource groups or resources within them. So when we think about Resource Manager, we think about it in helping to deploy complex scenarios all at once, and can certainly significantly speed that process up. I think you've seen some of the demos where we've done like parallel deployments of 40 or 50 VMs at a time.
Oh yeah, that's really neat. It sure beats clicking deploy, wait, deploy, wait, deploy, wait. So anything to speed that process up is great.
Yep, definitely. And then being able to organize those deployments into those resource groups we mentioned. There's also capabilities for applying billing tags or resource tags to those resources so that beyond just putting them into resource groups, we can tag them with special attribute values that we can use for filtering or pulling back billing or usage data or whatnot, and controlling as well.
I was going to say, I see that being especially useful to service providers, you know, being able to group different customers in together, or, you know, even for larger enterprises when they want to, you know, bill a single application or bill a single department, you know, try and figure out what the cost of running that department or application is. That's really a useful scenario I see with this as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Any type of multi-tenant environment, whether it's internal or external customer facing for multi-tenancy, definitely, yeah. And the other piece that we mentioned just briefly a few minutes ago is that Resource Manager is not just about the Azure Public Cloud, right? Resource Manager is a consistent API framework that provides a set of resource provider contracts for different types of resources, some of which could be in the public cloud, some of which could be in the private cloud, in the on-premises world. And so when you're thinking about web applications or VMs or storage or networking or databases or whatnot, all of those have resource provider contracts that plug into Resource Manager. And then with our recent announcements around Azure Stack, which is coming out into preview in the coming weeks and months here for the on-prem world, Azure Stack will implement Resource Manager in the on-prem world as well. And because it's a consistent API, a REST-based API, whether you're using the Azure or Azure Stack portal interface, whether you're working from the command line with PowerShell or our cross-platform CLI, or whether you're part of a development team that's working in Visual Studio, you have a consistent way of being able to deploy, manage, operate, and monitor those applications as a unit. And part of that organization that we talked about is being able to organize resources into resource groups. And you have a lot of flexibility here. You probably have seen some different models as well from people you've been talking to. Some organizations use the resource groups to collect all of the resources that pertain to a particular application deployment. Other organizations, where they may have delegated responsibilities more on a horizontal level, they might create a resource group for all of their storage accounts and storage resources, another resource group for all of their networking related resources, third resource group or perhaps other resource groups for different collections of VMs that ride on top of that storage and networking infrastructure, so that they can delegate at a resource group level administrative access for the storage administrators, the networking administrators, the application administrators all easily. And these resource groups can certainly span multiple locations and data center regions, so they're really adapted for very large multinational organizations as well. Are those the types of models that you've seen people exploring with resource groups?
Yeah, that's definitely what I've seen as well. I think the most common that I've seen is more the billing scenario, wanting to lump stuff together, but I could see it being useful, you know, from a siloed IT perspective as well.
Yeah, definitely. And when we're thinking about provisioning and managing resources through Azure Resource Manager as this unit of resources that are working together, we have some choices in how we do that. We can provision those resources imperatively using command tools and scripting tools like PowerShell, the cross-platform CLI, or we can do it declaratively. Resource Manager has its own declarative JSON-based template format, so that rather than having to worry about all the script logic for deploying all the various components inside of a resource group, you can instead simply declare that as part of a template and then tell Resource Manager to deploy the configuration that's defined within that template, and it will figure out and obey all the dependencies and dependent resource orders and whatnot in being able to provision that. So it becomes a very straightforward, easy process to be able to manage and provision and control versions of these templates across different iterations of your solutions. Very similarly to what we've talked about kind of in the past with kind of the differences between PowerShell and PowerShell DSC, the imperative or the declarative. We support both models. You can really decide which one you want to use, or you can use a combination of the two depending on what it is you're trying to do. Some organizations prefer to deploy using the declarative approach and then use the imperative approach once they're deployed for doing things like monitoring, configuring alerts, things of that nature on top of their deployed application solutions. Is that similar to what you've been seeing, Andy?
Yeah, that's very similar. I think what I've seen mostly is, you know, more of kind of a split between IT pros and devs. I've seen a lot of IT pros be more comfortable with the imperative model because that's what they've been used to doing for the last couple of years, whereas your devs are a little bit more comfortable with the declarative model. That's just what I've seen over the last couple of weeks in talking with IT pros and other professionals in the industry.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the imperative model certainly has kind of that immediate feedback that it provides as you're executing each of the commandlets and whatnot, and becomes very discoverable from that standpoint. So yeah, definitely. So Azure Resource Manager supports both. What do you say? Why don't we hop over into our lab and walk through deploying resources using Resource Manager as a unit, using both the imperative and the declarative model? Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
So Andy, we were talking about imperative versus declarative deployments and management of Azure Resource Manager-based resources, right? So let's start off in the world that most of us are really comfortable with, in the imperative world, right, of PowerShell and Azure PowerShell. We've got a sample PowerShell snippet here. There's a link at the bottom of today's episode page that has the full walkthrough on the snippet. But for those that are watching that are familiar with Azure PowerShell in the old days of provisioning kind of individual resources and not managing them as a group, you'll see a lot of similarity as we walk through this, where first we have to authenticate to our Azure subscription using our Azure Active Directory credentials. So I'm just getting my credential and using it to passing it through to an Add Azure Account commandlet to authenticate. And then once I've authenticated, in order to use the Resource Manager PowerShell commandlets today, we do have to do the switch mode over to Azure Resource Manager. And when we run that, it'll tell us that it's a deprecated commandlet. And the reason, there it goes, commandlet's deprecated. And the reason is that the expectation is in a future release of the Azure PowerShell module, you won't have to switch into this Azure Resource Manager specific mode. You can just use the commandlets for Azure Resource Manager natively. But today we have kind of this tale of two worlds with Azure PowerShell. We default to the old Azure Service Management mode that those of us that have been doing Azure PowerShell for a while have used all along to manage individual resources. And then when we want to start using Azure Resource Manager to provision groups or collections of resources, we can switch over to Azure Resource Manager. Once we've done that, you'll see a lot of the commandlets in this Azure Resource Manager mode look very similar, right? So we can select our Azure subscription, if we have multiple, to make sure that we're using the right Azure subscription. And we can select our Azure location, right? So we can make sure that we're getting a location and passing that through and selecting it and using that as a variable in all of our commandlets. But you'll see some new capabilities here as well, like the ability, we mentioned custom tagging for our resources. We can define tags as essentially an array of values. So here's a couple tags that I can assign to resources as I provision using Azure Resource Manager, one that assigns a project tag value and one that assigns a cost center tag value. And as you step through that process, as you provision resources, you can pass that array of tags in to any resources that you're provisioning. Now, one of the first resources that we talked about provisioning was the resource group that's going to collect all of our resources together as a unit. So here's a new commandlet where we're checking in this case to see do we have a resource group available yet. But if we don't, we're actually using the new Azure Resource Group commandlet to provision a new group in the location that we previously selected. And look, we're passing those tags through. So as we provision that resource group, it'll be tagged with those appropriate tags. One of the things to be aware of is that tags that are applied at a resource group level don't automatically carry down to resources within that resource group. And that's actually done purposefully, because you may want to tag your resource group differently than the resources that are inside that group. But if you want to use the same tags, you'll see that as we go through this snippet, every resource we're provisioning, we wanted to use the same tags with, so we're passing those same tag or the same tags array into the commandlets for provisioning storage, virtual network, VMs, and whatnot. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. So we've got our resource group provisioned, and now as we move forward, we're inside that resource group, we're provisioning all of our resources. So here's our new Azure storage account. So that should look pretty familiar, with the addition of a resource group parameter and a type parameter and a location parameter. In this case, we're actually not passing the tags in. I suppose we missed that one. We certainly could pass the tags in as well. And then as we go down a little further, you'll see for things like virtual networks, we're provisioning that. Now, networking in the new Azure Resource Manager model is a little different from networking in the old service management model. It used to be that when you provisioned a VM, you automatically got one network interface, a local IP address, a load-balanced VIP public IP address, all as part of that packaged bundle, right? The VM lived inside of a cloud service that gave it kind of this pre-built networking environment. In the new Azure Resource Manager model, you'll find that all of those networking elements have been exploded out into independent network objects, which gives us a ton of flexibility, right? Because now we can specify the exact NIC or multi-NIC configuration we want when we provision a VM and be able to specify the exact NSG rules and load balancing rules all the way down to an individual NIC level, right, if we needed to. So you'll see that I'm actually defining my virtual network first. So I'm defining a couple of my subnets. So this is a little different from the old service manager days. Subnet 1 and subnet 2. And then I'm creating my VNet with those subnets. And here you'll see I'm passing the tags in as well and the resource group name. Once that VNet's created, then I'm going through the process of creating a network security group. So I'm adding in a couple network security group rules. In this case, one for allowing RDP inbound. I've also got another rule for allowing HTTP inbound. And then I'm attaching those to an overall network security group that I'm creating using the new Azure Network Security Group commandlet. Again, passing in the resource group, the rules that I've just created, and then those tags that I want to use to organize my resources. Now I've got my network security group created. I want to give a public IP address that's load balanced to this VM. So I'll go through the process of creating the new public IP address. And then once I've created that new public IP address, I'm going to store that in my public VIP variable. And then when I go down to create my load balancer, I can pass in that public VIP as part of my load balancer's configuration and tie in those various NAT and NSG rules in as part of this overall configuration as well. So the load balancer, we won't go into a lot of detail. You'll find there's a lot of new capabilities that are exposed in the load balancer that gives you a lot of control for being able to wire up inbound NAT, outbound NAT, and load balanced rules inbound as part of your load balancer configuration. Once we've got that all set up, now I've still got some of the old components that I used in the old days, like things like an availability set. So if I'm provisioning multiple VMs, I can make them highly available from a placement standpoint by putting them into an availability set. So I can create a new one of those in my resource group. And then as we go a little further, I can define my NICs. Remember, NICs are a separate network object now that I can explode out. So I've got new network interfaces that are being bound back to those load balancing NAT rules, those inbound NAT rules and the load balancing rules, rather. So there's my network interfaces. And then ultimately, I'm ready to create my VMs. So I've selected my VM image, the SKU of that image, which version, and which size of VM, right, that I want to provision. And then it's just a matter of looping through for each of the VMs I wish to create based on that common image and setting my variables up correctly and doing a new Azure VM config that passes through to new Azure VM ultimately. And on the new Azure VM, that's where I again specify my resource groups and tags. So there's some similarity to the old model, but in terms of networking, there's also a lot of new advanced capabilities that may look initially a little more complex than they were in the old model, but ultimately gives you a lot more flexibility as well.
That's the thing about cloud really, is the flexibility aspect, right? I mean, to me, the more options that we have available, the better the solution. That way you're not stonewalled in any particular configuration.
Yep, definitely. Now, one of the things that we were doing here in our snippet is you actually say I've got this loop. I'm provisioning multiple VMs. I'm just kind of looping through the provisioning of those VMs. When we're doing that type of multi-VM provisioning from an imperative standpoint, all of that stuff happens on a serial basis, VM1, and then VM2, and then VM3. Well, as you can imagine, if you're provisioning 20 or 30 VMs, you doing that serially could take a while, right? Yep. So in the declarative model, using Azure Resource Manager templates, we actually have a parallel execution model built into Azure Resource Manager. So if we have 20 VMs as part of a template, boom, we can have those VMs provisioned all in parallel. It'll figure out the dependencies between resources and do the dependent resources first, and then provision all of the bulk of our VMs all at once. So we can reduce provisioning times in that declarative model for very complex application scenarios substantially, from 30, 45 minutes for provisioning a whole host of VMs down to just a few minutes, 2, 3, 4 minutes, right, for provisioning that same environment. Well, what do you say, Andy? Does it make sense to look at the declarative model next and see some of the ease of use from that standpoint? So the declarative model, right, that's a set of JSON-based text files, right, that are formatted to conform to the schema of the underlying resource providers that are part of Azure Resource Manager. We actually have a lot of published examples already that people can use as a starting point. If we go out to our browser and just do a quick search, we can look for Azure Quick Start Templates. And this very first link actually takes us to a repository of over 100 different templates that have already been set up for different scenarios. And you can search through this repository and pull up the templates that match the scenario you're looking to provision. So if you're provisioning, say, a SQL Server environment or a MySQL environment or whatnot, just start searching and, hey, we've got a template for deploying SQL Server 2014 in a highly available always-on configuration. We've got another one that uses SQL for deploying a new SharePoint farm or a 3VM simple SharePoint farm that doesn't have high availability. So as you're getting started with Azure Resource Manager, leveraging the Quick Start site's a great place to go to see some completed templates and be able to walk through that. But to begin building your own templates from scratch, we also have some really cool support built into Visual Studio with our latest Azure SDK. And so I know a lot of you that are strictly in the IT pro world are hearing Visual Studio and starting to tune out. But don't do that, because Visual Studio is very much a combined developer and IT pro experience now for managing the operational and development aspects of a complete solution lifecycle, right? So it's got aspects that relate to IT pros as well in Visual Studio. I definitely want you to check those out. But the key aspect that we're going to be looking at today is a new project type that's in Visual Studio 2013 and 2015 with the latest Azure SDK. It's based on a cloud template for Azure Resource Groups. So I'm just going to select Azure Resource Group, click OK, and lo and behold, it gives me kind of a prompted experience for building an Azure Resource Manager template. And I've got different choices based on if I'm using Azure PaaS offerings, or in the future, potentially Azure Stack on-prem PaaS offerings, right? Like web apps or composite applications with web apps and SQL, virtual machines, load balance virtual machines, all different types of examples, right? And so if we start off with, maybe we want to do a couple Windows Server virtual machines with a load balancer. We'll select that as our starting point template. I'll click OK, and it'll create an entire deployment project for me that will give me a starting template that I then have somewhat of a GUI interface for being able to add in new resources and configure those resources. So going through just those, a couple of pages on a wizard give us this base template. As we mentioned, it's the Azure Resource Manager templates are JSON-based text files that are formatted to a particular schema and release. And you'll see that the initial template has several resources that are already fleshed out, along with some parameters for filling out things like a virtual network name, network interface, load balancer, all of those aspects that would be unique from deployment to deployment. You can parameterize all of those. And then the resources itself is under a resource block. And we've got storage accounts, we've got availability sets, virtual networks, and whatnot, all already populated in this base template. As we drill down a little further, there's our network interfaces, we've got the load balancer configuration put in here. So a relatively complex configuration that with a couple clicks is all filled out for me. But over here on my JSON outline, if I wanted to drill into those particular parameters, I can. It actually reads the template. It can jump around to the various areas and allow me to navigate much more easily. In addition, from a resources standpoint, if I wanted to jump down to where my storage accounts are, or my load balancer, or my virtual machines, and be able to edit and fine-tune this template configuration, I can certainly do that. Or if I right-click on resources, for instance, I can go in and add a new resource, and it'll prompt me for what kind of resource do I want to add. So maybe I want to add in a custom script extension or a PowerShell DSE extension. I can click on that, add in a name, and click Add. And as I complete that process, you'll note that because it's a dependent resource on virtual machines, it actually locates it in the right area of the template for me automatically. I click on my DSE extension, and now I can go through the process of filling out my DSE module name and configuration name, all the information on what DSE configuration I want to pull in. So pretty cool stuff from that standpoint. You'll see it also added in a couple parameters, artifacts location and the SAS token for authenticating to our DSC package and Azure storage as well, that are unique to this DSC configuration. So really easy to get started with building a template right inside Visual Studio, but it's also easy to get started with deploying this template as well, because if we look over in our Solution Explorer, not only do we have our JSON template file and a parameter file that we can use to store parameter values, but under scripts, it actually pre-built for us a PowerShell deployment script that's going to connect to our Azure subscription, and rather than using imperative PowerShell commands like we were looking at earlier to configure this environment, it's using just a couple PowerShell commands that will upload this template and tell Resource Manager to deploy using this resource group template. So it's pretty cool option from that standpoint. We can actually do the deployment right inside Visual Studio just by right-clicking on our project in Visual Studio and then selecting the option to deploy as a new deployment. It will prompt us for our subscription information. So let me go ahead and authenticate to my subscription.
Like you said earlier, a lot of IT pros, they hear Visual Studio and they turn around and run, right?
Yeah.
What I really like about this is that they've taken a lot of the coding work out of it, right? Because, I mean, most of what you've just done is entirely menu and UI driven, right? Really takes the coding work out of it and just gives you the option to deploy right from here, which is extremely helpful.
Yep, definitely. And because I'm using multi-factor authentication with my my account tied to my subscription, it's just prompting me for a one-time passcode. So I'll go ahead and key that in and submit. And it's authenticating. And once it authenticates, it'll give me a choice of my subscriptions and resource groups, or I can create a new resource group optionally to be able to deploy this into. So I'll go ahead and choose my subscription here, and we'll select our production subscription, and then see, I can select either one of my existing resource groups that have been previously created and employ this application into it, or I can create a new resource group. So I'll just go ahead and select a existing resource group, and then all the parameters that we saw as part of our Azure Resource Manager template, we can go ahead and edit, and they all come up in a GUI, and I can fill out my individual parameters and click OK to save, or click Save to save those. And then for the storage account, this is where the Azure Resource Manager template and parameters file is going to be uploaded to in Azure, so that we can tell Azure Resource Manager to pull this right out of storage and be able to deploy in parallel all of the resources that are configured inside of it. So pretty good experience, not just for configuring the template, but also for deploying and testing the deployment of that template, right, all from within Visual Studio. And then certainly as my template gets versioned, I can leverage my Visual Studio Online Team Explorer window in Visual Studio to be able to upload and save that template as part of my source control, potentially along with other code that the development team is working on for that same version of the application, all integrated. So like you were saying, Andy, pretty cool in that Visual Studio is now no longer just a developer-only tool, right? It's a development team tool. where the development team includes IT pros and developers working together. Yeah, and so now that we've gone through the deployment experience, both from an imperative and a declarative standpoint, let's switch over to the Azure portal, the preview portal, and take a look at how these resource groups and resources surface along with things like tags and role-based access control. So I'm over on the preview portal, portal.azure.com. The preview portal is built on top of Azure Resource Manager as its underlying API. And the Azure Stack, the future of Azure Stack on-prem, will have its own portal that's also built on top of Azure Resource Manager. So all the things we are doing programmatically through PowerShell and Visual Studio and Azure Resource Manager templates will surface through the preview portal, because ultimately we're talking to Azure Resource Manager all the way around. So from the portal, if I click on Browse All, I'll get my my list of resource types that I can browse through. And once that loads up in my browser, we'll be able to scroll down and see all of the various resource types. And as we scroll down that list, you'll see resource groups as one of those types. So there we go. Oop, and resource groups. And then in the resource groups blade, it'll show all the various resource groups that have been deployed. So here's my various resource groups. I'm just going to select one of those resource groups. And if it was a resource group that I frequently work with, I can actually click on the ellipsis at the end and pin it right to my home start board on the Azure Preview portal as a tile so that I don't have to browse for it each time. But in my case, I'm just going to drill into the properties of that resource group. And remember, the resource group's a container of resources. So right on the summary screen, it shows me the individual resources that this resource group contains as a unit, right? And then from a tagging and role-based access control standpoint, for the resource group as a whole, or for any of these resources as I drill into them, I can use my tags button to assign tags. So if I click on the tags button here, any tags that I had assigned when I deployed this resource group, or if I was looking at a resource when I deployed the individual resource, would show up here. But right from the portal itself, I can also set those tags. So in this case, this is an example of a resource group that didn't initially have any tags applied to it. So I can just save those as key value pairs, right? And be able to do things like project and cost center, for instance. And you'll see that it tries to remember the tags that you've used for other deployments within your subscription to keep them consistent, right? So it's a nice feature from that standpoint, so that you don't have tag creep creeping up on you. So I'll just enter a couple of pieces of tag information, and I could drill down to the individual resources and do that as well. Similarly, if I go ahead and save that, if I go over to my people button, that's the access button here, and that's going to take me over to my role-based access control page, and that'll load up. And here's where I can delegate granular administrative or developer access to this resource group, or I could drill down to the individual resources and assign access just to those resources as well. So when we click on Add will allow me to select a particular role that I wish to assign. And you're going to see a large number of roles here, ranging from full ownership, having full access to all resources within this resource group. Even if I'm not a co-admin of the subscription, I can give somebody a full owner, right? I can give someone full owner access without having to give them co-admin access to the whole subscription. And they have full admin access just to those resources inside the resource group then. Or I can give them contributor access that allows them to manage those resources, but not give somebody else access to those resources and give them read-only access. And then there's a variety of sub-role types that are based on different types of services. So within a resource group, we might have networking and storage and virtual machines. So I can actually just make them a virtual machine contributor at the resource group level so that they only can interact with virtual machines that are located within that resource group and not have access to storage or networking or the other components. So I've got pretty granular access that I can assign at an overall resource group level or at an individual resource level as well. So gone are the days with Azure Resource Manager of having to give everybody co-admin access to your subscription, right?
Cool.
Are those features things that you've seen a lot of interest from IT pros out there?
Yeah, I think so. I run into people asking about this type of stuff all the time, especially from the management perspective, because the cloud is, I should say the public cloud and Azure is, as far as IT goes, it's really kind of a new thing, right? And people are still trying to figure out how to manage it in the most efficient way possible, and I think Resource Manager really helps with that. So there's definitely a lot of interest around this type of topic right now from the folks that I've talked to in the industry.
Yep, definitely. And the other piece that's available is with resource groups and tagging. A lot of people ask, well, how can I track my cloud usage, right, on an overall model? Once I've got my resources tagged or in a particular resource group, right from the portal, I can drill into that resource group. And as those resources start accumulating usage, I can be able to go down to my billing tile and at a resource group level, be able to see the overall costs and estimated spend of all of the discrete resources within that resource group. So it gives much more granular capabilities of viewing how much does this application as a unit cost versus this application within the same Azure subscription.
Very helpful right there, especially from a service provider perspective when you're hosting up multiple workloads to maybe multiple different entities. The same would apply for a large enterprise, providing services to multiple departments. Being able to separate it out like that and actually see the cost really helps from that business side. The bean counters like to see that type of information.
Well, Andy, today we've gone through a bunch of different aspects of Azure Resource Manager that can be used to manage complex applications as a unit, right? Either in the Azure public cloud or coming soon to on-prem environments with Azure Stack. Do you think we touched on all the points around deploying, organizing, and controlling resources that are important to the IT pros that you've been talking to?
Yeah, I think so. We've definitely provided enough information for them to kind of start tinkering with it themselves and testing some deployments. With most IT pros, I think the hands-on approach to actually learning the technology works best and should have all the information you need to do that at this point.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of those hands-on steps, so the resources that are listed down below at the bottom of the page that you're watching today's episode on are great resources to go deeper and start exploring Azure Resource Manager, whether it's from a imperative PowerShell scripting standpoint, a declarative ARM template standpoint, leveraging Visual Studio, leveraging the Azure portal. There's some great all-up resources that you can use for learning more about Azure Resource Manager to deploy, organize, and control the resources that you're deploying out in the cloud. So be sure to take advantage of those. We've also got Andy's blog out there, so be sure to visit Andy's blog, and he's got some great articles and great information on his blog as well.
Yep,
well, Andy, definitely. Well, Andy, thanks so much for joining us today. It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Oh, not a problem. I always enjoy it.
Great. And thank you, everyone, for watching our Build Your Hybrid Cloud episode 24 on Azure Resource Manager. Be sure to tune in for our next episode where we'll continue our exploration of hybrid cloud technologies that can leverage your on-prem world, the public cloud world together in a consistent management space for you. So pleasure having you watching today, and look forward to catching you next time on Build Your Hybrid Cloud.